Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went on a mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, our passage for today becomes more interesting, more enlightening, when we see it in context of the other time Jesus was in the boat on the water. Understand, Jesus calming the wind and the waves, that doesn't happen just here. This has happened before. The first time is recorded in Matthew chapter 8. 23 to 27. That story has implications for this story. So let's recall that story. According to Matthew chapter 8, 23 to 27, Jesus and the disciples get into a boat to cross the Sea of Galilee. Along the way, Jesus falls asleep on this cushion in the back of the boat. And while they cross, this storm brews up. At first, they are not too afraid. I mean, a number of them are seasoned fishermen, but it turns out to be a doozy. It must be pointed out that in ancient times, it was commonly understood that a storm on the sea was the kingdom of darkness coming into expression. A storm was somehow a sea serpent or Satan himself coming out to devour, to destroy, and to drown. That's what the disciples are led to believe. They wake Jesus up. "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." And so Jesus stands up in the middle of the boat and he rebukes the wind and the waves. And the sea monster, or Satan, listens to him. This frightens the disciples. I mean, only God can do these kinds of things, right? Psalm 74, verse 13. "It was you who split open the sea by your power. You broke the heads of the monster in the waters." So somehow Psalm 46 was being also fulfilled in their presence. Psalm 46, verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And so the disciples, they ask themselves, who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. That day, they realize that Jesus is God. Someone they can trust, someone they can put their faith in, someone they can worship. What a blessing. From now on, every time they cross the Sea of Galilee, they would be confident that God was with them in Christ. As it is, this story is background to the story we find in our text now in Matthew chapter 14. Congregation, understand that Jesus and the disciples, they crossed the Sea of Galilee a number of times. We read of such occurrences in Matthew 9, verse 1, in Matthew 14, verse 13. We can assume that there were other times as well. But something is different in our passage for today. In our passage, Jesus tells his disciples to cross the Sea of Galilee without him. They must go alone, in the dark, at night. I suspect the disciples are not too keen on this. Our NIV, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. He made them go, implying that they did not want to go. In the Greek, it says Jesus compelled the disciples to get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. He had to urge them. He had to convince them. He had to persuade them. Don't worry, guys. You'll be all right. Jesus goes up into the hills to pray, and the disciples get into the boat, and they go. As it is, the wind begins to get wild, and the waves begin to pick up. According to verse 24, the wind is against them. This is going to be a battle to get across the Sea of Galilee, and it will go on for quite some time. How long are they left out there? It was after supper in the evening, says our text, that Jesus told them to go. And when does Jesus finally go out to meet them? It's in the middle of the night. Our text mentions the fourth watch of the night. That's after 3 o'clock in the morning. So you can assume that by this time, the disciples are completely beside themselves. All is one big sea monster, a big sea serpent with big wavy arms bashing and buffeting the boat. All was the kingdom of darkness out to manifest itself, to devour and to destroy that little boat. And you know how it goes. When you are really, really scared, and then you always see the worst, that's what happened when they saw Jesus coming. Here Jesus was walking on the water towards them, but what they thought they saw was the devil incarnate. Some kind of sea serpent coming right towards them in spirit form. It's a ghost, they cry. They're going to die. Of course, it's not a ghost. It's their master coming out to greet them walking on the water. Notice what he says. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. He speaks with such confidence, with such comfort, with such authority. He says, take courage. Actually, those words can be translated, be of good cheer. So you can sense Jesus with a smile on his face. Lighten up. Get a hold of yourself. Smile. Take courage. Take courage, says Jesus. It is I. Those are important words. Literally what he says is, I am. Be of good cheer. Take courage. I am. Don't be afraid. I am. That's God's name in the Old Testament. Yahweh, which is God's name in the Hebrew, literally means I am. Now here was Jesus taking on these words and applying them to himself. Take courage, be of good cheer. I am the Lord your God. Remember? You know this. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I guess they don't have to be afraid. I mean, here was God himself, again, in Jesus, coming towards them, walking on the water. You know, we cannot underestimate the significance of this. Jesus could have come to them in any number of ways. He could have swam, I suppose. He could have taken a boat. He could have flown, I'm sure. But he chose to walk on the water. You understand, Jesus chose to use the troubled water, the kingdom of darkness, as his bridge. He uses the kingdom of darkness as his walkway, as his path. Jesus walks on Satan, walks over top of the kingdom of darkness. So you can sense the sarcasm and the ridicule in all of this. I'm thinking of that song that goes back quite a ways now, back to the 1970s, if not the 1960s. Those boots are made for walking. Remember that song? Those boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are going to walk all over you. You know the song. That's what Jesus does here. He's walking all over him. Actually, he's riding him. Here are the waves going up and down, and there's Jesus is doing his rodeo. Notice, Jesus isn't sitting down on this rodeo. No, he's standing up. He's using no reins. Jesus is on his feet, and he's crushing the serpent's head. You sense the echo here to Genesis 3, verse 15. In Genesis 3, God promises that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. He will stand on him. Well, that's what Jesus is doing right here. That's the difference between our passage for today and the Matthew 8 passage. In Matthew 8, Jesus just stands up in the boat and he speaks to the wind and the waves, showing his divine authority. But in our passage for today, Jesus pushes that envelope a little bit further. He ridicules the serpent. He walks all over him, all to comfort his disciples. Be of good cheer. I am is here. Don't be afraid. And all of this, of course, totally baffles the disciples. They are bewildered with excitement and with joy. Have you ever had it before where you are really, really scared about something? Then all of a sudden you realize, oh, what's wrong with me? Why was I so afraid? And then you kind of do the opposite. You develop a sudden overabundance of courage. That's what happened to Peter. Peter, he suddenly yells out, Lord, if that's you, command me to come to you on the water. And so Jesus yells, come on out. And so Peter does. Congregation, notice the picture now. Now we have Jesus, the Son of God, and one of his followers walking on the water, riding the waves, trampling on the serpent's head. This is amazing. I see a picture here. I see a foreshadow of the last day. I see a picture when Christ and his church, as one body, Christ the head and we the body, all together trampling on the head of the serpent. That's going to happen. You know that. Romans 16, right? Romans 16, verse 20, Paul says there, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. We always think that crushing Satan is Christ's job. Well, it is. But in the end, we will join with him. And in our passage, we see something of a foreshadow of it already. Christ and his servants are trampling on the serpent's head. Until Peter, of course, suddenly clues in that he's not in that last day yet. He's living in the already, not yet, where the kingdom of God has not come to its completion yet. Peter suddenly sees the wind and the waves, and he doubts, and he begins to sink. He senses the wavy arms of the sea serpent suddenly grasping him, and so he yells, Lord, save me! And that's what Jesus does. He grabs him, he pulls him up. You of little faith, he says, why did you doubt? And together they entered the boat, and suddenly it's like that was the cue for the wind and the waves to settle down. Jesus gives no command. He doesn't address the wind and the waves. He doesn't need to. They know better now. And so the waves, they suddenly disappear, and all is quiet in the peace of the night in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. the disciples are really awestruck. "Truly, you are the Son of God," they say. And so what do? They worship him. They give him what they give to their Father in heaven. They give him all the honor, the glory, all the power, and all the praise. They worship him. What else should they do? Jesus truly is the Son of God. Application. Congregation, what are we to take out of this story for us this morning? What do we take out of this? Okay, a few things. Number one, let's appreciate again who Jesus really is. Jesus is God in the flesh. He's God. He's divine. He's God in human form. We know this. We hear this every Christmas. At Christmas, God came to us in human flesh in the person of Christ. And in our story for today, we see proof of his divine power. This is why the Gospels were written. This is why the whole Bible was written, so that we might know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Which means, number two, that we are called to trust him, to rely on him, to put our faith in him. You know, earlier in the story, Jesus told the disciples, "Go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee without me. Trust me." Later on in the story, Jesus told Peter, "Come out on the water and walk with me. Trust me." Congregation, amazing what we can do if we but put our trust in him. We can do unbelievable things. Now, don't misunderstand me now. I'm not saying that if you have faith in Christ, you too can literally walk on water. You probably can't. So please don't go to Lake Ontario or to Coots Paradise or whatever and give that a try. And why not? Because Christ did not ask you to walk literally on water. He asked Peter to do that. Some people make that mistake. They think that by faith, they can do anything they want. And so they have cancer, but they think that by faith, they will conquer it. Or they have a struggling business, but by faith, they will not go broke. Now, the fields are dry, but by faith, they can make the rain come. God doesn't promise to give us whatever we want by faith. Not everything is God's will. But if something is God's will, especially if God has asked us to do something, then we are able to do amazing things by faith in Jesus Christ. Let it be said, if there was a swimming pool in front of this church here this morning, and Jesus said to me, "Ken, get on there and start walking," by faith in Christ, I would walk. Here's where the rubber hits the road. Jesus doesn't ask us to literally walk on water. What does he ask us to do, though? He asks us to believe in him, to run from sin, to walk in obedience, and to promote his lordship. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, we can begin to do that. You know, all of us, we get caught in situations of extreme temptation. Maybe you are a dating couple here this morning, and you think you need to live a lifestyle which you know the Bible does not endorse. And you think, for whatever reason, that you have no other choice. Well, Christ says to you today, you need to live pure and chaste and holy lives. And by faith in Christ, you can walk on that water. Or maybe you are a person who thinks you need to steal. You need to hold back from your taxes from the government or whatever. And if you don't, you're going to go broke. Christ says, You shall not steal. You must walk in obedience. And by faith in Christ, you can do this. You can walk on that water. Or maybe you're a person who thinks you need to get into the cannabis with your friends. And if you don't, you're going to be the outsider. You're going to be the holy roller, whatever. People will laugh at you. Christ says, walk in obedience. By faith in Christ, you can overcome. You can walk on that water. You know, all around us are all kinds of storms, many waves. All around us is the kingdom of darkness. Sometimes it is very scary. Sometimes we feel very much alone. But this morning, Jesus Christ enters our midst and he says to you, be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. And so in Christ, we're able to walk over top of it. We ride the wind and the waves. We're able to stand up. We join with Jesus to stamp and to crush the serpent's head. It happens already now when we keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Sometimes we'll fall, but Christ will pick us up. We keep our eyes on him. That's why we're here. That's why we're here as the church. We're here as the church. We are here because of Jesus Christ. He has crushed the serpent's head. He did so on the water. He did so in his death. He did so in his resurrection. He does so in his ascension. Jesus is Lord. He is the Son of the living God. Like the disciples, may we also bow down and worship him. Let us trust him. Let us love him. Let us worship him. To him be all the praise, all the honor, all the power, and all the glory. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Ah, gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we may gather as the church of Jesus Christ. And in a sense, we're in a boat this morning. We're in the boat together. And we know there's all those storms and those waves. The kingdom of darkness is surrounding us. And yet you stand up and you say, peace be still. And Jesus Christ, he walks in the water. And we do too in him. We ride the wind and the waves and we stand up confident and tall in anticipation of the day in which Jesus will come back again. And all will be the sea of crystal. The sea will be gone. And we will see Christ. Father, I pray for God's people as we go through the tribulations and hardships of our times. I pray, Father, for our young people. I pray, Father, for our parents. I pray, Father, for our elderly. We all face temptation. We all sense the waves and the wind. Father, help us to look, to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is the King, that he is the Son of God, that he has come in the flesh to be with us, to win the battle against Satan, and to give us new life. I pray, Father, for the person who does not know our Savior. I pray, Father, that you would work grace in the hearts of all your people so that we may stand up and know that the Lord, he is good. Hear our prayer, bless us to that end. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.